I'm Scott Sanders, the Executive Director of Geneva Bush.
And I'm Derek Hanna.
Well, welcome to The One Thing, a podcast designed to give you one solid practical tip for gospel-centered ministry every week.
Yeah, look, Scott, you are glowing in the afterglory of the month's past Commonwealth Games.
Mate, haven't they been great? Gold, gold, gold.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be talking about this for years to come. Australia leading the gold medal tally.
Yeah, let's hope not. Yep, let's hope not.
The One Thing's brought to you by the Geneva Push, the Australian Church Planting Network. And you've pressed play on Episode 5, Building the Ecosystem.
Look, over the past couple of episodes, we have been introducing three key ideas that point people to Christ, that lead people to Christ, that help people live for Christ. We call them signposts, pathways, ecosystems, just words. But today we are going to be looking and thinking about this this idea of ecosystems and what that's all about.
Now, ecosystems are what comes after people have found you, the signposts, and after you've helped them find Christ, the pathways. We've looked at those over the last two episodes. Now, we realise we haven't reached a million listeners yet.
What?
But it might be reasonable to assume you haven't caught up on signposts and pathways just yet. So you can either skip back two episodes of The One Thing, or here's a quick recap.
So, look, here's the question, and then Scott, just because he's going to be pretty lazy in this podcast, he can explain it. Here's the question that we're trying to answer when we get into churches, really, isn't it? What does it look like to lead a local church on mission in ever-increasing numbers?
And so, for reasons you'll learn if you listen back to the other two podcasts, it's helpful to think of three distinct areas of your church: signposts, pathways, and ecosystem. That is, how do people find you, how do they join you, and what happens once they do? And today we're looking at the last one, what happens when they do. So, Derek, talk to us. It's the last one. What happens when someone actually joins your church?
Yeah, look, at some level, it seems like a stupid question to ask, because you know, if you're going to an existing church, what you do is already there. What you're going to do is sort of already there, isn't it? It just kind of exists. And surely if you're planting, what you do as a church community is what you've learnt to do elsewhere. You know, you're not reinventing the wheel at some level. You've seen how churches work. It somehow doesn't seem like a complex thing.
One of the great things, though, with the church plant is you get to build it from the ground up, whereas an established church often has just multiple programs and events and structures and systems that they're there because, well, they're just there.
That's
right. Just keep doing them.
And I reckon sometimes we become convinced that if we just plant some structures in the ground, or we just take structures from elsewhere and recreate it in a church plant, what will grow is what we want it to grow. And generally those structures, they either reflect what we've come from or they are a reaction against what we've come from. And so, yeah, we just... Now, look, God is gracious and he'll work through the stuff that we do to move people towards Christ-likeness, even independently of us, even in spite of us sometimes. But, and to steal a phrase of a well-known planter, we need to make sure that we don't confuse pragmatics for biblical principles and get lazy and just do the same stuff, being convinced that it's biblical when really it's actually just convenient. We want to be deliberate and we want to be intentional.
Intentional is a key word there. I think
Absolutely. Intentional
is key.
Yeah, intentional is key. And that will probably form a series of another bunch of podcasts. But what we do has to flow out of biblical convictions as to who we are, where we want to go, and how we want to move from where we are now to there in the context that we find ourselves. So when you think about church community through that lens, it starts to help you ask some more probing questions than let's just repeat what I did elsewhere.
So why ecosystems then, Derek?
All right, so as with signposts and pathways, it's just a word. One of my friends, Phil, he is really into permaculture. He loves permaculture. He set up his backyard. It's phenomenal, so that it grows different things in different seasons. And one of the things that he has said to me is that everything in this permaculture ecosystem is connected. So some things grow well with other things and some don't. So you've got to work out how you pair them up. There's a connection there in what they do to the soil or what insects are attracted or what are repelled. And so depending on the soil and the season and the geography, and everything in Queensland grows well because it's the motherland, it's the home. But you've got to work out the context, and then you've got to work out if it's going to run well there. You've got to put thought into it.
So what you're saying is an ecosystem gives the idea it's a closed system where everything kind of interrelates to each other and is dependent on each other. But you've got to work out those dependencies and actually what you're going to grow.
Absolutely.
Based on the season and the time to keep to keep the analogy of growing
kids. Yeah. It doesn't have to be a closed system necessarily, but it is a system because it can be affected by outside things. You need to be aware of that. But it's dynamic. It's interconnected. There's a seen and the unseen. It's complex. You can't control everything. Sometimes the unexpected happens organically or because of a decision that I made over here, and 6 months down the track, I realize it affected over there. And I need to be aware and monitoring, think about all those things to grow and maintain a healthy ecosystem.
So why should a leader be thinking ecosystems?
Yeah. So two reasons that I think ecosystems is incredibly helpful. The first one is it helps you start to think with the end in mind. And second, it pushes you to acknowledge an underlying contextual and relational dynamic that exists. Whether you like it or not, it exists. So those two things. Start with the end in mind, and it pushes you to acknowledge that underlying contextual and relational dynamics. Anyway, let's take a quick break. Let's crack open the toolbox. The one thing toolbox. Scott, what do you got for us?
Well, that's right. As brilliant as Derek is, he'd be the first to admit that most of his ideas are stolen. In fact, he regularly says that.
In fact, Kathy Heard was saying to me the other day that ecosystems, Graham from EV, it's a word he's using.
Well, I think it's a Keller phrase.
Oh, it's a Keller phrase.
But I guess I want to say to you, Derek, your thoughts are built on other equally great thinkers.
Thanks, mate.
That's it. Yeah. You've heard it first.
Really nice.
There's actually quite a few good resources out there for helping you think deeper into the ecosystem of your church or ministry and what you can do to go about changing it. So here's my top three must-have resources. Now, my mate Daniel from Lifeway Leadership in the States has just written a book called No Silver Bullets. It's a great book just to dive into and to think about five key things when you're thinking through your discipleship ecosystem in a church.
Small shifts.
The second one, we've already mentioned it a few times, Simple Church, written by Eric Geiger and Tom Rayner. Excellent book. Again, helpful to get you to think into the bigger picture that actually drives your church. And then the final one is a conference that happens each year, Team Pastoring. This year it's in July up at EV Church. Great time to get away with other pastors and leaders and spend the time thinking into your systems in your church. So that's Team Pastoring in July this year. Check out EV Church's website.
All righty.
Well, back to the main game. Derek, you were saying a little earlier that there are two good reasons leaders should spend time thinking through ecosystems. One, it helps you keep your destination in sight. And two, it forces you to take into consideration the touchy-feely relational dynamics. You love the touchy-feely.
Yeah, I'm all about touchy-feely.
So let's ground it. Give us a couple of examples of those two.
Okay, so for the first one, in the world of gardening, which I know very little about, very little at all. It might be that my goal for my backyard ecosystem is to grow food to eat. It might be that it's so it looks pretty, whichever one it is, whatever it is. That'll actually shape what I do with that patch of dirt right there. So for church, my goal is not just to plant a few things and hope for the best, or just to implement a few structures and hope for the best. My goal is to, first of all, scour what the Bible says for what God wants his people to be like, and then work out a framework around that for how I can nurture that and make that happen, how I facilitate that in the context I'm in. And in many ways, it's a simple question. What does God want? Well, he wants us to be like Christ. He wants to make and mature disciples. That's what we want to be thinking about, how to facilitate. And the key fertilizers in that are not going to change. It's, you know, it's going to be his word through his spirit in community, doused in prayer. But to get to that end goal, you need to adjust for the soil you're working in, the climate you're working in, the tools you've got at hand. So the classic, I think a classic example is this, and I think this is a really helpful example, particularly for people who are in church who often have a strong background in AFES university ministry. If we want to see people become Christians, no one's arguing with that. That's a motherhood statement. What do? Well, at uni, when I was at uni, it was all about walk-up evangelism. It wasn't the only way, but that was a big way, sharing the gospel one-on-one. So people would pour their energy into training and equipping individuals in the AFES group to do evangelism.
And that works really well in the university context. You've got a whole bunch of students who have time, you know, often,
yep,
you know, 2-3 days.
Sitting around.
You know, 5 days on campus.
Yeah.
And you've got university students who are happy also to ask those big questions. You can roll up to people and ask them, you know, do you want to know about Jesus?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So doesn't work in other contexts.
No, it doesn't. No, that's right. In the lunch break at work, those aren't the kind of things, as people are having stressful days, that you not kind of want to do walk-up evangelism in the lunchroom. No. But it works in that ecosystem. And so it's right and proper. But in a church context, you're working with a very different ecosystem. And the most effective method of seeing people become Christians and engaging them with the gospel is not walk-up evangelism. So you need to think how you get to the same endpoint in the context and climate and with the people you have. I'm not saying there's not overlap there. I'm just saying you actually need to consider the ecosystem if you're going to achieve the goals that you set out to do.
So help us think into that. That's the end in mind. Help us think into the underlying, as you say, contextual and relational dynamics you need to be thinking about.
Yeah, all right. So look, if we're thinking through the soil that we have, the underlying, the seen and the unseen, we'll be thinking about what is the effect of what I do here going to be on the community as a whole? How do I navigate that? And how do I monitor it? So can I give you an example? Because this might seem a little bit airy-fairy, but when we were at Village Church, when we were running Bible studies, we'd had Bible studies from the start. We changed to community groups. It was quite easy to get into a Bible study. They're quite porous boundaries. You could come on one Sunday, and then on the Monday night, you could be in one because we wanted to integrate people. That was a key way of connecting. But what we found over time was actually because we were getting a number of new people and we were thankfully integrating them well into Bible study groups, every time you introduce a new person into that group, you change the whole dynamics. You know, last week I was just sharing something deep and personal and I felt really vulnerable. And now there's two new people sitting in the room. I don't know what they're going to do if I share that stuff again. And so the structures we had, the way we'd set stuff up had a direct effect on the cohesion of those groups. And so what do you do? It's not just a question of structural efficiency. It's a relational question. I can't measure some of that stuff. I just have to observe and ask the right questions and know what questions to ask. So look, thinking ecosystems pushes us to consider what we do from all angles and then pushes us to monitor the effects, join the dots, and tweak as necessary.
And helpfully, the example you used, thinking about the growth of the church and where you are at that time, you know, so you wouldn't argue most churches would start with a gathering.
Yep.
They'd start with community groups or small groups ministry and a kids ministry if they were trying to reach, you know, young families.
Yep.
Now, that's at the start of the church, but it's then as the church grows, you need to change how you do your integration system as it goes. You know,
yes.
You might have everyone around at the Hannahs.
Yes.
As the church grows, yeah. that doesn't necessarily work.
No. And that's because the ecosystem is changing as it's growing. The soil's slightly shifting, the dynamics are shifting, and you have to adjust. You can't just think it's going to be all the same.
So what do we do with all this then, Derek?
Look, this is the start of a conversation. This is a big topic, actually. There's a lot in it. It's not the whole conversation. And to be honest, what I want to do over the course of the next year is get people onto this podcast who are doing this stuff on the ground to tease out the implications of ecosystems for people who lead churches, because this is an important topic. But I'll give you my one thing, then I'll give you some things to consider. Okay, here's my one thing. You need to understand that your church functions like an ecosystem and you need to reshape your approach from there. So here's some questions to consider if you're just beginning to think about this. Have I articulated the biblical goals I want for the community and the people that I lead? If I have, are the structures in my church driving towards and achieving those goals? And how is it that they interact with each other? They don't live in silos. If I haven't articulated those biblical goals, what direction are we actually moving in? And what's the connection between my structures and where we're going? And here's the last one. If I was to start from scratch with what the Bible says, what kind of ecosystem would I design and nurture and drive towards with those goals in mind?
Well, great, Derek. We mentioned in our first episode, consult the archive at genevapush.com/theonething. That Geneva Push has just relaunched its website. So if you haven't gone and had a look, you're officially 4 weeks out of date. We want to encourage you to take some time to click over to genevapush.com, check out the new site, especially the Pathways navigation. And basically, you decide, you know, from where you are, where you want to go. So if you're a pastor of a church and you want to plant a new church, click on that pathway. If you're thinking about whether you're a church planner, you might ask, you know, am I a church planner? If you're thinking about could you plant a church, you might click the could our church plant a church. Follow that path through. All the resources for answering your questions are there. It's so simple that even Derek can manage it.
Oh, when we get the internet in Queensland, I will definitely do that. It'd be great. All right, thanks for joining us for another episode of The One Thing. Coming up in our next episode,
we're going to be thinking, what do you need to get ready to plant a new congregation? I'm going to give you the four L's that lead to launching strong.
Yep, and we're going to take 15 minutes to plumb the depths of Scott's knowledge, which may not take that long. It may take much longer. We'll see. Not sure.
I'm Scott Sanders.
And I'm Derek Hanna.
Chat soon.